Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Here we are, the team of investigators, our recent team of investigators. We have Ben, Julian, and me with you. Julian, Ben, hi there. Welcome back, guys.
Hey there, guys.
Good to be back.
The gift of gab, which is Julian, Armand, and Ben. G-A-B, here we are. The gift of gab. That should be the name of our program.
Oh, very nice.
We're here to bring you ideas. And, you know, if one of the things that I notice that people become most distraught by, most upset about, is the way that other people defend themselves, protect themselves, or get forward in life. Let's say that everybody has a strategy for getting through. And if you think about it, almost everyone we know has a strategy. How are they going to get through? How does that person get through life? I recently met someone who said, who was looking and meeting people here in America, but was not from America. And what he said he does is he looks at everybody's strategy for getting through. He says, I look at it as each one of those people I met, I kind of in my mind don't type them, but I wonder, how do they get through? How do they get through life? More than that, I think we're born with strategies. Or we develop strategies as we grow up, and that there are a certain number of predictable strategies that you could see. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could meet somebody for the first time and identify their strategy for being? For example, this person's strategy for being, let's say you met somebody who was a toll cheater. They liked to cheat on tolls, and they didn't throw money in the tolls, and they would kind of get by with cheating the highway patrol. Their strategy for life is to get something for nothing, is to get something to beat the system. Now, you could be sure somewhere in relationship with them, that issue is going to come up. This issue of the person having the system and having to beat the system is going to come up, and it's going to run right into your face. And then you're going to say, I don't get it. How could this have happened? This was my friend. Or let's say you met somebody who was a cheater. They like to cheat on things. They like to hide things. They're a liar. And then they get in a relationship with them, and they wind up doing the same with you, and you say, how could they have done this? Well, the idea here, my friends, is that when we are little, when we are young people, we look at life and we say to ourselves, how am I going to get through? Now, there is a chance that you had two such loving parents that your parents embraced you in such a way that you didn't have to worry about strategies. But most people don't have that. Certainly most people listening to WBAI haven't had that. You don't have that, so you had to figure it out for yourself. How many of you believe that you had to really decide how you were going to grow up on your own? So you had to develop a strategy, and there are a certain number of strategies available to you. Only a certain number, but nature provides everything with a strategy for existence. Two rules in life: eat and don't get eaten. What are the strategies for being able to find what you need to eat, and what are the strategies for you not getting eaten, not getting destroyed? So today we are going to go over the different strategies as we see them, so that you could learn to identify them as you see them, as they manifest. And for you to understand that just because the person has this strategy, it doesn't make them wrong. It makes them somebody who is just getting through the best they can. I mean, if you think about flowers, right, and most flowers. In fact, Ben, the last thing we were reading about the flowers and how the flowers were developed.
Right. Well, a lot of plants have evolved in a way where they had to learn how to please humans who were cultivating them that would ensure their survival and their propagation. So the flowers evolved to be beautiful and pleasing to the eye.
And so by becoming pleasing to the eye, humans would want to get them and gather them, even if they were cutting them.
They would keep planting them, and they would keep sort of breeding them and creating hybrids and new versions of these plants, and it ensured the survival.
The more beauty they had, right, the more the chance of its survival.
Right.
How many people do you know who survive on being beautiful? It's their physical attraction that matters. How many people do you know who live with a mirror? I have one friend. Whenever I am with him, you can guarantee if there's a mirror anywhere to be seen, he's checking himself out and adjusting himself. And sometimes it's a joke, you know, I kind of walk up over near a mirror and sure, he just can't help it. Sees a mirror, sees a reflection, he's got to do it himself. I had a place where I was living once, I remember it was a clear glass, it was just a window going outside, but it had a reflection. If you were outside, it was a reflection. From the inside, you just saw people. It's like a one-way mirror. And you would see everybody who came in front of that window would be adjusting themselves, changing themselves, fixing themselves. Well, okay, that makes sense. If you're going to survive in this world, you don't want to stand out. Fishes know they don't want to be making too much noise because other fish will come and get them. However, some people are so concerned with it that it's their only thing. The worst thing in the world is to be seen as unattractive. The worst thing in the world. It's so bad that they can't stand it. So if they get a wart, or if they get a pimple, or they get something like that, their life falls apart. There are people who feel so worried about it. Am I fat? How do I look? What do I look to other people? That the slightest comment by someone else crushes them, and they develop a hatred for more attractive people. I mean, if your whole strategy in life is looking good, right, looking your best, then you develop, your whole world is built around it. That's your strategy. What's going to happen as you age? What's going to happen as you get older? As you get older, this is the full preparation. You have to adjust your strategy. And even then, you dye your hair, you get wigs, you get makeup, you get implants, you do.
Do a lot of these people that have this fear of not being attractive also have a very similar fear of getting older?
It's got to be related to it, right?
Yeah.
So now, I'm not saying the strategy, it's a fear that runs them, but the strategy is not to look unattractive. The strategy is, I will look attractive, and that will be pleasing to me. Now, here's a good thing behind it. If I am attractive, then people will give me more than they will give anybody else. And you know it's true. The better looking you are, the more things you get. People give you free things. I had a friend who was so good looking that it would make me... That every time she walked into a place, people were giving her free food, they would give her free rides, they would turn down tips just because of her attractiveness.
Yeah, it's interesting too to just look at the massive industry that's developed around this strategy for success of looking good. I mean, there's so many industries and businesses that have grown up around this. You know, look at plastic surgery, makeup, all kinds of fashion, weight loss. All these things geared towards making people feel more attractive and better about themselves.
This is Armand DeMille with Gab. Julian, Armand, and Ben.
Gab.
Hey, and what about the acting career? Acting, dancing?
Yeah, I mean, if you're more attractive, I mean, you either have to be extremely attractive or not at all. And that's kind of how you get a job in acting.
And what happens every time you turn... Well, you get immune to it, right? You get turned down for jobs. That's one thing.
You hope to get immune to it. Some people don't. And a lot of the time, that leads to a really difficult time in their acting career if they can't deal with that, which is funny because it's a little ironic that the people who are focusing on acting often are some of the most self-conscious and sensitive kind of people.
Well, that's the thing. You see, now you become sensitive. What does sensitive mean? Then you talked about this issue about as you get older. As you get older, if appearance is what matters, you better get older well. And that's why we have gyms. That's why we have workout places. That's why we have, you know, you're not allowed to get flabby as you get older anymore. You're not allowed to go walk out and just relax in the park. You got to look good. You got to have the right hair. You got to have the right property. Got to even smell right. This is Armand with you with the Positive Mind. So therefore, when you see somebody who's obsessed with their appearance, understand, this person as a child did not feel safe. Something was threatening them. And this thing that was threatening them made them decide that the only way they're going to get by is by presenting their beauty. I know many physically beautiful people who do nothing. They wear no makeup. They do nothing to their hair. Their hair is a natural color. They do nothing to enhance themselves. And they're certainly exquisitely beautiful, but they do not seduce through their appearance as their strategy of life.
One thing I've always appreciated about the positive mind is the way that you've been able to sort of tie examples back to nature and the animal kingdom specifically. So thinking about this strategy, is there maybe an animal that you would relate this sort of strategy to?
One animal gets by. I mean, you know, we developed the flowers. We thought about the flowers. There is this one bird. But, you know, every time I think of the bird, I think of a flower. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The bird of paradise?
The bird of paradise, right? How does the bird of paradise survive?
They do, like, this mating ritual where they preen and groom themselves and do this little dance. If anyone out there has ever seen, there was a whole documentary called Planet Earth. There was a great bit about the
bird. Do they have natural enemies?
They don't. That's why they're able to be so, you know, stand out so much, because they don't have to worry about any natural predators.
Yeah, I would also think goldfish, right, by being attractive, or tank fish. There are some fish that developed as a species to be just attractive, so they would be collectible. People, I know, are like that. But there are other animals that follow other strategies of life, and we're going to be going over all of those strategies with us. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI. We are talking about strategies for living, and we're talking about different things that people do. Let's talk about some of these. One of the ways of getting through life is to say, that's cool. It's okay, man. No problem. You can say that all you want. Now, there's an attitude that goes with no problem. It's a feeling. The feeling is kind of a dull. Your eyes are half closed. You're kind of dreamy. It's okay. No matter what happens, it's okay. So there's one strategy for life, is to stay half asleep. To stay half asleep is not a bad strategy, because if you think about it, you don't get touched by stuff. Stuff doesn't bother you. You know you have an exit.
There's no conflict.
There's no if there is a conflict, you just help it go away. You put out the fires. You never get involved in the conflict, because it's easygoing. Now, you could live that way, and that's a good strategy. You get by that way. Everybody kind of likes you. It's a nice person. That's the way they are. In nature, do you think there are any animals that do that, Ben?
Sure, absolutely. I think some of the biggest animals probably are the ones that can afford to be that way, like a whale, for example. A whale is so huge that it can sort of just have an easygoing...
That's it. Easy, man. That's his.
Yeah.
Here comes a couple of sharks. Hey, watch out. There's a storm coming up. The whale says, don't worry about it. I'm going through. Being a whale, being an elephant, you know, he's so big. It's just like, it's easygoing. Easygoing. So that's one way. One way is the half-asleep way. I get through life this way. I rest. I take it easy. I'm comfortable. I don't have many ambitions. Now this, when you see somebody like that, and you say, you know what's wrong with you? You lack ambition. Because the person doesn't have a job of any material gain, you know, and you look at them and they're unhappy, and they're not unhappy, they're just not achieving anything. Well, this is their strategy. Their strategy is not to be an achiever. So then you give them advice and you say, you know what you need? You need a class on public speaking. And they say, oh, okay, I'll take a class on public speaking. And they do what you say, but the problem is you're fighting against the tide, because their strategy for existence is to not get involved. And if your strategy for existence is not to get involved in things that create stress, if that's your very strategy, if you aim somebody in that direction, you're defeating yourself. They're just not going to want to go there. They're not going to succeed at whatever you're doing. One of the things you could do instead, if you had a child or a son or a daughter who seems with a lack of motivation, you could just simply, on your own, accept them for the way they are. You could just accept them the way they are, because it's a much easier way to kind of get them motivated. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind.
Yeah, I think these sort of animal metaphors are real useful for kind of tying back what we're talking about to easily relatable examples. And there's definitely as many kind of strategies as there are people, but I do think that for the most part, there are many that fall into sort of categories of strategies, we'll call them.
Well, okay, so let's look at another strategy for life. One strategy for life is to take control of everything. You take control. You just run it yourself, right? That's it. I'm going to trust nobody. I'm going to do it all myself. I am in charge. You become the in-charge kind of guy or gal. You know these kind of people. You see them. They're bossy. You call them bossy. They have a word for them. You're bossy. You're somebody who runs everything. Why? Because they learn there's no one to trust. They learn that there is nobody who could do the job as well as they, and they don't want to depend on anyone.
It's the kind of person that would say, if you want something done right, do it yourself.
Do it yourself, or I'll do it for you.
Right.
You want something done right, I'll do it for you. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll take care of that, because that's the only way. So if you meet someone like that, if you meet someone who is going to be in charge all the time, don't get mad at them for being bossy. Don't ask them to do things for you, or don't take advantage of what they give you. Like, they're the ones who will get you the tickets, they'll get you the seats, they'll get you everything. But then sometimes you're going to say, oh, stop bossing me around. You're so bossy. And they're saying, well, wait a minute, I'm just doing it the way you wanted me to do it.
You know, it's interesting, actually. I just got back from Taiwan, personally, and I'm hearing these animal relationships between survival strategies sort of for humans and animals. And I'm also noticing this among countries and places.
Very good, yes.
I mean, in New York is such what we're just talking about, this style of bossy, do it yourself, get it done, and if you don't do it yourself, you're not going to get it done.
And New York is also an appearance place.
An appearance place, too.
My appearance counts the most.
Yeah.
Now, you've been around the Orient a bit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Taiwan, for example, is where I just spent about a month, is what we were talking about before, is this place where everything's sort of like no problem. It's like this, but you see almost inactivity. In contrast to New York City, for example. I mean, you go there and you say, you ask them, oh, what's your ambition? Like, oh, I work at a bakery. And I say, well, what do you want to do when you're older? And they're like, work at the bakery.
Right, I haven't really management.
Right. I mean, they don't say I want to become this big star. I want to build the first library in my. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's a different style.
So imagine if you're an American woman and you go over there and you meet a Taiwanese man and you're attracted to him, you feel completely upset by the fact that he has no motivation. But listen, this is how he gets by. This is his strategy for life.
They're not upset about it. That's just how
they
are.
That's the way it is.
That's part of life, and that's how it goes.
And part of what also happens with them is if you get too excited, they want to quell you. They want to get you to relax. They don't invite you in, you know? The man most likely to be handed a joint is the American who comes over and says, where's the action? Hey, get quiet, get quiet, get quiet. Taiwanese, did you notice the same with the Chinese when you were there?
The Chinese is definitely, it's a different place than Taiwan. Taiwan is this small island. It has a small town vibe. China is much more practical and in your face, do it yourself also. It's got China's huge, but I went to Shanghai, and Shanghai is a lot like New York in that sense. But it's almost to the point where you don't look around. It's just independent, you taking care of everything. Anything that saves time, saves money, you're going to do it. And that's kind of the style in China that I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to Korea or South Korea? Or
I haven't been to South Korea. I've been to Taiwan, Shanghai, Italy, Switzerland, and the UAE. And, I mean, all of them are different places. I mean, Italy, for example.
And each one has a different personality.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm noticing.
Survival strategies. Now, think about the Italian survival strategy.
Right.
As I know my Italian heritage, right? It's kind of, they're kind of the same way. Don't get too excited. Don't get too excited. And they're not, I'm going to take charge. But in a way, you know, except if you're going to Sicily, then it's definitely I'm going to take charge. But in a way, it's like, okay, so what's most important is pleasure. What's most
it's
important...
It's the sensations.
Right. Things have got to feel right. Armand DeMille with the positive mind. Talking about strategies. What are your strategies? You know, we'll be speaking to you today, too, at 212-957-2729. 212-957-2729. You could call in. You know, I was thinking, Ben, you were talking about beauty. You know who gets by on beauty? The butterfly.
Sure.
The butterfly is an amazing, amazing animal for getting by on attractiveness. So here it is, this beautiful thing that's fluttering around. But it also has in its wings those two dots that make other animals think that other birds think
like it's much bigger, right?
It's much bigger. It also has a reflective surface that makes the thing actually become invisible in the sky. Butterflies are amazing. As yeah. beautiful as they are, their strategy for survival is phenomenal.
Yeah, and you can imagine. I mean, most insects, people say, oh, go kill that mosquito. Go slap it. They want to go catch the butterfly and preserve it and put it in their house or something, like, you know.
One of the other strategies for survival is to do everything very privately. Pretty much like the mole or the burrow.
Right. Burrow underground and hide out in little tunnel networks.
There's a beautiful, beautiful story written by Franz Kafka. It's a short story. I've recommended it before, called The Burrow. It's exquisite. It's fantastic. It's a great metaphor for depression. It's an amazing thing. And he talks about the details of being underground. Now, many of you who like to work on your own, on your computers, especially if computers allow people to spend all their time doing it, you get a chance to see how deeply involved a person could get. Their strategy for getting by is to be alone. I'm alone. I'm fine. I'm an expert. I'm going to master something. I'm going to train myself, even if it's a video game. But I am my own world. And my strategy for existence is to depend on no one, to let no one in, and to stay private on the inside. What animals do that? I guess, like you said, the mole does.
Right.
The burrow does.
In a way, maybe the sloth, too. Or the sloth could be more like the first example of taking it easy.
Is like a taking it easy.
Yeah.
I wonder what a snake would be, a cobra. That's pretty private, except when it comes out now, but it's pretty strong in the world.
Yeah, they're like, don't disturb me. I think they're kind of like powerful, and they're like, leave me be and do my own thing.
We have to invite one on the air, Shanae. Shanae?
Hi, yes.
Hi, it's Armand DeMille. Welcome to WBAI.
Hi, thank you. Well, I have a nephew that I recently obtained guardianship over. He was actually living with my mom, and she was his legal guardian and, of course, his grandmother. And she recently passed away, so now he's with me and my family. He of course, he's gone through a lot because my mom passed, but he's having a lot of difficulty, I guess, adapting in school and just wanting to be around family. So I've been having problems with him, and I'm trying to figure him out. But right now he has a bad habit of excessively lying and. Mm-hmm. And, you know, actually defending what is totally unreal.
Yeah, you know, that's such a tough thing. That happens a lot. How is his drug usage or alcohol usage?
Well, he smokes. He smokes marijuana, and that's another thing.
Any other drugs? Any alcohol?
No alcohol. I'm not sure. Cigarettes, I think he tries. He just turned 16 in June.
Imagine if your strategy for life is to, what do magicians do? Misdirection. Right? If your idea is to make sure nobody can see you specifically, mm-hmm. and that's your strategy in life, and the way that you get through is to avoid being seen. Now, to avoid being seen, if that's what you believe, let's say you were beaten every time you were caught and seen. If you have that as your strategy, then the thing that happens to you is you have to create false images. Not only do you create them with such complication, more and more and more, that it's almost impossible to live an honest life. So if you have somebody like that, and not only this person that you're talking about, but there are other people, there's all of nature is a fraud. They find ways of hiding. They find ways of misdirecting you in all ways. It just means he doesn't feel safe. Mm-hmm. Now, every time you argue with him about the truth and you say, here's what's true, here are the facts, and he defends himself, he becomes more solidly set in telling this lie. Therapists, counselors who work with people who are like this, know never to confront the lie, never to believe the lie. They just listen to themselves and they say, well, this person's probably not telling me the truth. But that's their strategy. That's the way they get by. So I don't know what to tell you about your nephew. Is this your nephew?
Yes.
I don't know what to tell you about your nephew. I know what to tell you about having lost a relative of your own. This was your sister, right?
No, my mom.
Your mom. Mm-hmm. When did this happen?
January.
Yeah, we see. Now, you haven't dealt with it either. You miss your mom, don't you?
Of course. She was my best friend.
So here we are talking about your nephew. Your nephew and knowing what he has to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about you. Your heart's still broken.
Yeah.
What happened? Have you been taking care of everybody? Are you somebody whose strategy in life is to take care of everybody, make sure they're all okay?
Yeah, basically, my mom was that person also.
She,
you
that
know.
Was hers too.
Yeah, she was a very strong woman. She was a pillar in the community. She actually owned a house downtown Brooklyn, and it was one of the main safe houses to the Underground Railroad.
Oh, wonderful.
And she fought to keep it. So, you know, she always did a lot for everyone. And one of her main things was family. We performed together. We, you know, we just shared everything together. So I'm kind of, you know, doing the same thing with my family.
So maybe not, that's not, maybe not be the best strategy. I think the very best one for you, Shanae, would be for you to take care of yourself. And the way to take care of yourself is to let yourself go through this in its depth. Let yourself go through the pain of this on your own without talking to anybody. And because I could hear that it's just inside you and it's killing you. And you haven't gone through it. And it's only since January. You need a long time with this one. Trying to take care of other people so that you could be as good as your mother, it's not going to work. Not going to work. This young man, when he finally gets to realize what a loving person you could be, and he will relax, and he'll relax his not telling the truth. But don't challenge him. Just understand it's what he's got to do.
So do I ignore it because it's kind of destructive for his friend?
Yes, you ignore
he's
it. You
hanging around the wrong type of people, like gang members,
yeah, I understand.
And that's not him, you know?
It's a much bigger story. You know, we may need to gather him in, try to get him some kind of help. We have to be going right now. I wish I could advise you directly, but I can't. Mm-hmm. Because we need to consider him. Mm-hmm. He obviously needs some kind of help. He's dealing with a big loss, and so are you.
Yeah, I got a counselor for him.
Great. That's terrific. I hope he likes the counselor. I hope he tells the counselor the truth.
So far, no.
Well, you know, we all... Thank you very much for calling
Thank
in.
Thank you.
We all carry on with our own masquerade of the world. This is exactly what she's talking about. That's what lying is all about. That's what not telling the truth is. We project an image that is something that is just a masquerade. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes, my friends. Some music for you first.
Lonely game. too far away from being close together from the start. We tried to talk it over, but the words got in the way. We're lost inside this lonely game we play. Thoughts of leaving disappear each time I see your eyes. And no matter how hard I try to understand the reason why we carry on this way, we're lost in this masquerade.
You didn't recognize it. Those are the Carpenters. For some of you who may know what the Carpenters were, did you ever hear the Carpenters, Ben?
Not before today. Got to be
honest. Not before today, yeah. Right? Absolutely.
It's before my time, I think.
I've heard of the profession.
The Carpenters. No. This is a very, very, very popular group back in the days. And this is a song, The Masquerade, which is beautiful, written by Leon Russell, who used to write for many of the great jazz artists and folk singers and so on and so forth. He was terrific. Leon Russell. In fact, let me let you hear Leon Russell's version of this. Listen, Leon Russell's voice is almost not understandable. I saw him on stage about 2 years ago, but you should hear him. He's an amazing guy. Listen, here's Leon Russell.
Are we really happy with this lonely game we play? Looking for words to say, searching but not finding.
If you notice, searching but not finding understanding in any way, we're lost in a masquerade. And then he has this beautiful quote, "We tried to talk it over, but the words got in the way," which is so often. And he talks about the masquerade that we all live in, trying to, especially lovers, get lost in their masquerade. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We've got Mario on the line. Hi, Mario. This is Armand.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
I want to tell you that I'm truly in awe of your ability to come up with interesting themes for almost every show you put on.
Isn't that shocking? 40 years of doing it, and you got to come up with a theme every day?
I'm truly amazed.
Me too.
And good. And I want to tell you that you're one of the reasons why I'm about to subscribe to BAI.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
One stratagem that I'd like to add to your list is obsequiousness.
Hmm.
Otherwise, sometimes called the Uncle Tom syndrome in a stereotype way. Obviously, I bring it up because it's something that I had to live with. When I first started school as a little kid, my mother made sure that I often brought an apple or some flowers to the teacher. When I got my first job as a teenager, my mother made sure she instructed me that, it wasn't her exact words, but she gave me the message that I should make sure to kiss the boss's feet. to stay in good graces with him. I remember an experience in my first year of college where I wrote an essay in my English class that the teacher liked a lot, and she brought me up to her desk and said, "This is very good. I'm going to give you an A for it." And I started telling her how this was all her, to her credit. This was all about her teaching, all about her motivating me, that had nothing to do with me. And she actually got angry with me and said, "You wrote this. I didn't write it. It's your credit, not mine."
Now, do you think that was angry, or she got assertive with you?
Well, she was strict, or assertive, yeah.
Assertive, right?
Because but she maybe had a kind of a shocked look on her face.
Right. Now, let me ask you something about this. When you first got on the air, the first thing you did, you obsequed me. You obsequed me. You said, "Armand, I don't know how you come up with so many amazing shows." Was that... It's like it's an automatic. Let me give you a compliment first. Let me say something nice to you first, so that I could exist. Now, Mario, do
right,
me
except I really felt it, though.
You mean the other times you don't feel it? Like with the teacher, you didn't feel it? Of course you did.
Right, yes, but as a way of allaying fear, I guess.
Right, so Mario, let me ask you something. When you were little, was there, your mom trained you, this is what you got to do, this is the way you're going to stay out of trouble, right?
That's right.
Now, I have a son. My son is mulatto. He's half black and he's half white. And he was trained by his mother to never make anybody angry when he was very, very young. And so he was given the same kind of instruction. He was just nice all the time and nice and serving all the time. And there are many people I know who serve. There are some people who serve, and they serve to give. They give to get love, and that's kind of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You believe that you have to give, not just to protect yourself, but to be loved by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anybody in your life who loves you?
I think so. I'm married.
Do you earn that love all the time, or is it, have you gotten to the point where you could relax and stop from earning it?
I do feel like I need to earn it almost daily.
Daily, huh? What would happen, Mario, if you relaxed it, if you didn't do it?
I would be scolded, I guess.
By whom?
By the person
now.
Trying to please.
So what about now? What about now if you were not to do it?
Right now?
Yeah. Now and today and the rest of today.
I have a kind of a vague fear of repercussions, of
that's
consequences.
Right. That's right. That's what your defense system knows. So you've been trained by your defense system to be obsequious, to be serving, to be servile, right? And to do this because this is your way of defending yourself.
That's right.
It's like a terrier. Who's a house dog who says, you know, all I got to do is be nice and be good and be licking and happy and jovial and I'm going to get fed. This is my way of getting through life. This is your way of getting through. And the question is, we have to teach your brain. We've got to teach the guy who's defending you, the guy who's up there, your protector. We have to say to him, no, listen, we don't have to do this anymore. We're not little. Mm-hmm. So in order to convince him, he doesn't want you to do it. This defender of yours doesn't want you to change. In order to convince him, you got to make a deal with him. You got to say, I'm going to do this for just 2 hours. Mm-hmm. For 2 hours, I'm not going to please anybody. Just for 2 hours, I'm going to sit at the dinner table and I'm going to do nothing to please anybody. I'm just going to be.
Right.
And it will have to see that you don't get killed by this. You don't get wiped out. And it gets trained that way a little at a time.
Right. If I can add something to it.
Sure, please.
I sort of have done that already. I don't mm-hmm. behave obsequiously most of the time. I've learned to have a kind of, I know how to be oppositional or disagree or or stand my own position. I've sort of learned how to do that. But you know, what's interesting to me is that the obsequious persona is always in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do as far as asserting myself is a kind of workaround on top of the obsequious persona that lies behind it.
Wow.
And it's sort of like a layered...
Sure, it's very, thing. Very tricky, but it also shows your intelligence and your adaptability.
Yeah.
You sound like an extraordinary guy. You know, so what is the biggest problem you have with this now?
Well, my sense of it is that we all should learn to sort of acknowledge power, being confronting power or being overpowered or recognizing when we're under somebody's power or something's power. My response to power is not just simply acknowledging it and dealing with it. It's appeasing it.
Yes, I understand. So, listen, we're going to have to be going because we've got a couple of people on the line.
Right.
But let me get to you, Mario, go a second. Yes, appeasing it, but in order for you to be able to deal with power in a more effective way, you're going to have to recognize yours. Because I'm listening to your power. I'm listening to what you have. And I'm saying, what a man. This man could move mountains.
Wow.
You know? Now watch, be careful not to compliment me.
No.
This man, I am listening to the strength of your voice, the ability to be converse and to communicate so clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So when I listen to that, I say to myself, here's a man who denies his own power. And I've met so many men who deny their power. And that's the first one that you have to deal with, mm-hmm. making peace with yours. Thank you for calling in, Mario.
Well, that's very valuable. Thank you.
Sure, sure.
Bye.
212-957-2729. That dog in the house, you know, the one who gives all the time, the licking, and a ha 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 ha, right? And that nice golden retriever puppy or the terrier who's always there, you know, they learn the trick. If I love you, well, I'm not going to say it about golden retrievers because I think golden retrievers represent some supernatural qualities. I'm going to put them all aside because they're very unusual animals, and I don't think they love just to get. I think they are just amazing beings. However, every other dog I know just wants to be fed. I was once on the beach in Jamaica. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. It was just an amazing, it was like a party, and it was on the beach in Jamaica, and you could imagine what was going on. Everybody was young. I was 21 years old, and I'm laying, and I fell asleep on the beach, and I wake up at dawn, and this dog comes walking over, and I am convinced that I am hallucinating, and I am seeing some kind of messenger of God coming to me in the form of a dog, and the dog comes over, and I give it a little food that I had. And I had this relationship with this dog at 21 years old. It was amazing. It was like God sent it. And somebody down the beach goes walking along, and they kind of got food in their hands. And the dog picks up and goes run after them. And I realized my wisdom was the dog goes to who feeds it, not to who loves it. Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. 212-957-2729. Among the other strategies of life, we were talking about the dominant strategy of life. What animals are like that in nature?
Which strategy? The strategy of giving love to get love?
No, the dominant, the controller.
Right, right. So, I mean, the first comes to mind would be the king of the jungle.
Yeah, the lion.
The lion.
Right.
A very dominant creature.
No messing around. I take what I want. I do what I want. That's the way it is.
And that would be on land, in the sea, the great white shark.
Great
Another
white
one,
shark.
That's an animal we've discussed on the show recently. A great white goes wherever it wants, eats whatever it wants. They are not restricted to, you know, you find them in all parts of the world, in warm water, cold water. They'll eat anything, just about. They're absolutely dominant creature of the sea.
And part of their dominance has to do with their size and their strength, the lion and the chimp. But there are other people in life who are dominant who don't have size as their advantage. They have intelligence. And I know a lot of smart people who control just by using their intelligence as their weapons. The other is, another strategy for getting by is never taking anything too seriously, but always having a party. It's called the positive mind, the overly positive mind. It makes me think of chimpanzees. You know, it's like I'm going to flit from one tree to the next tree. I'm going to be having this party. It's going to be this and that and then this and that. And I'm going to just be going from place to place to place to place. And I'm never going to land on the ground. And I will never take anything too seriously. And therefore, I will be immune. My strategy for life is you can never catch me. Catch me if you can, but you're not going to be able to catch me because I'm going to keep moving. Now, that person comes by your life and they meet you and they fall in love with you, fall in love with them because they're so energetic, they're so beautiful, they're so terrific, they're so exciting. And then suddenly they jump up and they move away. And then suddenly you say to them, couldn't you just sit still long enough for me to be able to love you? Because the fact that they don't sit still means that you can't feel their love back, even though they may have it. So that's another strategy for life, to keep on the move, dancing as fast as I can.
Like a party animal.
Yeah,
someone who just doesn't stop.
And one of the other strategies that we run into a great deal is the person who lines up the ducks. They just line it up. This is the person who is a strategist, whose strategy is to be precise. Precise, perfect, line up everything, make everything. My way of getting through life is to just make sure everything makes sense. Now, these are very difficult people to relate to if you're a passionate kind of person because they're going to try to make you make sense as well. So what do you do when you're the kind of precision? You know, it reminds me, Ben, of a heron, you know, one of these animals who are kind of walking on the shore with long legs, and it's kind of going to pick at something. It's going to pick at a fish, but it's very precise.
Like a woodpecker is like that, too.
Well, I think a woodpecker doesn't just pick. Does it pick?
They kind of chop. They chop.
They chop away. Yeah. I'm on the move with you with Ben and Julian. So all of this kind of leads us to the fact that people have different strategies. And if you want to enjoy their strategies, if you want to be able to enjoy the people, if you recognize their strategy, but don't contradict it for them, don't make them wrong for being that way, you could develop a more positive mind.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't really fault the lion for domineering and being an aggressive sort of carnivorous creature because he's a lion. So, you know, we are the way we are, and many animals do employ these sort of strategies just as humans do, and it doesn't make them bad. It's just the way they are. You know, it's sad when you turn on National Geographic and you see the baby gazelle being eaten by the lion, but it's not malicious. It's just kind of the way the lion is, and that's nature.
I always vote for the baby gazelle to get away.
Me too, but
I mean, want him. Get out of there, can you? You know, you could do it. You could escape it. So the idea of life is we see people who will get through over and over again. Now, some people, their strategy in life is to be different. I'm just going to be different. I'm going to be unique. I'm going to be taking everything seriously. I'm going to be feeling stuff. I am an emotional character. I am deeply emotional, and you have to respect me for my emotionality. I will validate my existence through my emotionality. And this kind of person looks at you, and you look at them, and you say, how wonderful, they have such deep feelings. And then on the other hand, they have such deep feelings, and they're so unique. On the other hand, they get involved in drama all the time. So if there is a drama that's available in life, you can be sure this person is going to have it. And they pick up everybody's problems. So if a person says, my cousin is sick, they'll say, oh, I'll go to your cousin's funeral. This is the person who gets involved in just about anything if it's dramatic. And they can't help it. That's their life. Their life is finding a reason after a reason after a reason for being this way. And they don't. That's the way they exist. Now, if you meet somebody who is like this, you say to yourself, they're involved in drama. You could love them. You could be with them. Just you can't be involved with them. And you can say to them, that's okay. I understand this is what you're going through. But it's very difficult because they eventually will get angry at you for not getting involved with them. Yet the reason they're with you is so that you don't get involved.
Yeah, is this the same kind of person that also tries to make themselves useful all the time? Because I feel like there's this, it sounds like the kind of person that always wants to be useful and exciting, the person that wants to be wanted.
Wants to be wanted is certainly an important part of it, Julian, you know?
Yeah.
Wants to be wanted, wants to be desired, wants to be valued. See, there are certain people who don't care. They don't care. The private person I was talking about, they don't care about whether you want them or not. They don't care about that. But the main thing of all of this, I guess the main thing of all of this, of all strategies of life, is not just, as we know, to not be eaten. It's not just a defensive strategy. It's not just for getting ahead. But we believe it's all about trying to find love. Now, what does that mean? That's a catchphrase. Finding love means, since we no longer have to worry about being eaten, the next thing we want to do is find some kind of protector, find somebody to be with. We want to relax. In order for me to relax, I'm going to use my strategy and find somebody with whom I could do that. Of course, if you had enough sufficient love when you were young, then this wouldn't be your search after all, if you had it. Now, many of you are going to say, oh, I've got that strategy, but I had a perfectly beautiful childhood. I can't tell you the number of people who I've spoken to who have come and seen me. I had a perfectly beautiful childhood, except when my father drank and my mother would beat me with a stick. You know, other than that, no, and then, you know, my cousin abused me. But otherwise, it was a perfectly fine childhood. Sometimes people's minds protect them. But having a rough childhood is not such a bad thing. I mean, things get rough. We're going to have to be going soon. Listen, we are now back on air. Tuesday. Oh, we're not on next week. What am I talking about? I was going to say to you, we're back, guys. You could predict it. You could go by the clock. We're going to be here every Tuesday and Wednesday. But you know we're not on next week. The reason we're not on is there's a Pacifica archive that they're doing, and they're not going to be on from then. But we will be on following that. We will put this up on the internet as well, and you can go to thepositivemind.com where you could listen to the archives of our different programs. We'll be back with you in... I was so sure I was going to make everybody say, you know, you could be really solid now. We're going to be here. If you need to reach me, and those of you who are working on your... If you haven't gotten your premiums yet, you can call my office at 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. Everything should be out and completed to you. We just sent out that one men series that we completed. And so the rest of you should all have everything. If you don't, give us a call right away. I will be back with you in 2 weeks on Tuesday, the 24th. Following that, yes, it's going to be November 24th. And then following that, it'll be the 25th, which is Wednesday, I think. And then we'll be with you all the way up until the next fun drive. Back with you soon, my friends. Thanks to you, Julian, and thanks to you, Ben.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure. Do 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 do
Are we really happy here with this lonely game we play? Looking for words to say. Searching but not finding, understanding.